about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's the luckiest day ever.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
It's appalling that a professional photographer would violate my trust by releasing an unauthorized and inappropriate image taken in between post shots on a windy day, which I was unaware of.
Ooh. No, no, no,
no, no.
Mustn't interrupt intercourse. All sacred intercourse cannot be interrupted. Ooh, everybody, quiet. Quiet for intercourse. Shh, don't disturb the intercourse.
And now.
This necklace is my favorite. This is what made me officially a princess. Like, I feel like a real princess today. Look at my jewelry.
Our feature presentation.
She's the best.
Look at my jewelry. Look at
hey,
it.
Hey, 1-800-520-1067, Monday edition of Kevin Means What to Do Nephew in a minute. Speaking of Heidi, oh, I got to play this because we'll never, ever have time if I don't.
All right.
Heidi was on talking. She was on one of the local L.A. television morning shows, I think the Fox affiliate there. And she was on talking about how her performance at the Miss Universe pageant.
Right.
Tell me if you recognize this.
I performed in front of a billion eyes, the highest rated televised event in the history of TV. It was
okay. Wait
wow.
a minute.
What?
Miss Universe, the highest rated television show in the history of TV, according to Heidi.
And it's not like it was third or fourth in the history of TV. I mean, it wasn't even in the ballpark of.
Well, now she's just drinking Donald Trump Kool-Aid, right?
She Spencer must, Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
She must be, because I'd be willing to bet when the ratings come out, that Miss Universe pageant probably isn't going to be in the top 20, right, for the week.
Q to
no.
be the billion eyes. I'll bet it'll now, do better than that.
Now, granted, it does have an international following. Granted, there are people around the world watching it.
Right.
But I got news for you.
Yeah.
Probably not in the top 100 of most watched TV shows ever. Is that incredible?
You know,
I mean, she's just at the point where she can say anything because nobody believes her anyways. It doesn't matter what she says.
I think she's dumb. I don't mean to say that in a mean way. I mean, I think she doesn't kind of get everything. And so,
like, numbers are kind of this crazy thing
so
she doesn't
says,
understand.
So somebody says, oh, there's going to be, you know, if they're joking around or if they're just, you know, hey, there's going to be a billion people watching or whatever. She goes, yes, that is science.
Right.
And it has been measured and it's a billion people. She doesn't know, I don't think.
No, I think you're right. I don't think numbers make a lot of sense to her. Remember, wasn't she on YouTube and they were talking about how many hits they'd had and it was some ridiculous number?
That was,
yes.
They were on Tyra, I believe, and they were talking about that homemade music video that they had made.
That's right, the one on the beach, right?
They said they had like 100 million hits or something crazy like that, right?
Crazy number, like, all right.
All right, one more time.
That may not be.
I performed in front of a billion eyes, the highest rated televised event in the history of TV. It was.
And by the way, wait till you hear what she says next.
Set records.
Lip syncing? Yeah. No?
No, very live.
Yeah, very live. Oh. We all saw it. We all saw how live
on.
It was.
Not lip syncing. Really?
She's dumb, but I think she knows if she's singing or not, right?
Well,
does
yes.
she know, or did they just turn off her mic and not tell her?
No, I don't think. I think she's dumb in that she honestly just thinks no one could check and no one would, and so she can just.
And we
say,
didn't notice that her mouth didn't match the
right,
words.
Right, right.
Okay.
Whatever she says, she figures will go unchallenged because she said it.
You're like, okay, Miss Heidi, know. Whatever.
That's a,
by the way,
the best.
If you're not lip syncing, then you should make a better song. It should certainly sound better than it did.
Yeah.
If you've got the benefit of having it pre-recorded, go ahead and make it better before we have to hear it.
Poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not just
anyway.
Lip syncing.
She's fantastic, no?
Yes.
Oh, see.
See,
senor. It is time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
All right, you, the caller this morning at 1-800-520-1067, you get a pair of tickets to Universal Studios Hollywood. For the rest of us that don't rate, there's a deal going on where you bring in any can of Coca-Cola and you get $15 off general admission. So it's a win-win, whether you call or not. You get a little something out of this morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, let's start with Steven this morning. Hi, Steven.
Hey, what it do, nephews?
What it do?
What it do?
Hey, Lisa, how you doing? Lisa?
I'm good. How you doing?
How you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, you know, I was looking at Channel 4 News this morning, of course, to watch Alita, you know.
Sure.
But,
Who's not on today, by the way? Some dude doing the weather.
I was like, what the hell? But, you know, I just happened to find it. You know, Channel 4, they have that Golden Local Award, and they got you guys going up against Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, I don't know what that Golden Local Award is. It's just like the best in this city, or?
I don't know.
You know, I really don't know, but, yeah. You know, I think it's rigged, though, because I tried to vote for it, and I couldn't find the Golden Local Award.
You think they took it down just so you couldn't get to it?
I think so.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Ryan wins that, because our
listeners aren't that smart.
At times.
All the K-Rock sisters, all the Kevin B. fans hold some type of, you know, campaign or something against Ryan Seacrest.
Well, I'm not encouraged, Stephen, if you can't even find where to vote on the website. I don't think that...
Right.
Bodes very well for us, but thank you for the call anyway.
We're fighting an uphill battle on that one.
Speaking of the TV, by the way, you may have heard that there was a fire.
What?
You wouldn't know it from watching Los Angeles television over the weekend. I'll tell you what, it was programming as usual. It was Hannah Montana, and it was beach volleyball, and it was golf, and it was anything but covering fire.
Bean and I exchanged emails on Sunday. I got up and flipped the TV on, which I don't normally do on Sunday morning, to catch up because Southern California is burning to the ground. Nothing.
Yeah,
there
that's weird.
There was nothing
usually
on TV.
Usually if there's just a tiny little ember, they go
24-7. Yeah, they go crazy. They didn't change anything. It was unbelievable.
It was really crazy. I mean, I guess it probably cost too much to send people out on the weekend or something. That's the only thing I could think is it had to have been a cost
concern.
Could
there be a bigger story in Southern California right now?
Probably not, no. No.
They're talking to potentially today. What are they at? How many acres have burned so far, Lisa? Isn't it like 40 or 50, something like that, 1,000 acres?
It's like 16 miles wide and 18 miles deep. It's
And they're talking about, with no relief in sight, with not getting any help from the weather, they're talking about it potentially doubling today.
Oh.
The amount of acreage burned. Wow. I mean, and Mike was saying right before you came in, Kevin, that some of these huge fires are heading toward connecting with each other. Right, Mike?
Yeah, and we're not talking about neighboring cities connecting. We're talking about, you know, miles and miles north. There's a fire in Acton, and the foothills of Pasadena. It looks like they could connect these fires. I mean, these are towns far, far away, and it's pretty scary because, like being said, there's no relief really from the heat. And,
no, there's not going to be any relief today.
And the way that the winds are moving, albeit they're moving slowly, the way that they're moving is really causing havoc for the firefighters.
Yeah, if there had been some wind, the whole place would have burned down. You just would have had to pack up and just move to Portland or something because there wouldn't be anything left if this were a windy weekend right now.
I heard our own Scott Springer over the weekend on the radio talking about his house. I think early Sunday morning, he thought it was gone.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, but the firefighters did spot drops right in front of his and two other homes and saved it.
Did you see the story of the people who didn't evacuate because they thought they didn't have to because they had a hot tub, so they were going to be fine?
Yes.
Did you see those
yes,
people?
I did.
No, we're fine. We got a hot tub. We're going to be great. Both ended up in the hospital with serious burns, by the way.
Yeah, what a surprise.
I mean, I totally get I don't want to leave my house. I want to be here to do everything I can. But at some point, the fire is way bigger than you are, and there literally is nothing you can do. You can stand out there with a garden hose all day. It's not going to make a difference.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's go to Sammy, find out what he did over the weekend. Hi, Sammy.
What it do, Kevin and Bean?
What it do?
Lisa.
What it do?
So I just got back from San Francisco a couple minutes ago from Outside Lands Festival.
Oh, how was it?
Amazing. Very, very good stuff. Unfortunately, though, MIA, not happening.
Really?
Not happening, meaning she performed but not well?
She did pretty poorly. She debuted a new song. I don't know if it's been performed before, but like the crowd wasn't feeling it. And her mic was way up and the music was down. And
oh.
She was mad about that.
That's like, worst case scenario.
She was flat, yes.
How's Pearl Jam?
Pearl Jam was, oh man, they were amazing.
Was it 150 in San Francisco as well?
It was cold, man. It was freezing today.
I heard it was freezing.
Wow. Yeah.
How was the Street Sweeper social scene?
Street Sweeper Social Club?
Club, yeah. Whatever they're called.
I thought you were making a joke.
Tom Morello just ripped on guitar, man.
He's unbelievable. That band is good. I like it.
Yes, and they did a cover of Paper Planes, Go Figure. A lot better than M.I.A.
That's pretty funny.
I'd like to hear that. That sounds great.
We'll show you how to do it. Yeah. All right, we're glad you had a great time. I guess that was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Golden Gate Park.
Mm-hmm.
And let's end with Jeff, who is the Saints fan. He roots for the Saints each year, and he always has a giant bet with Ralph about the way the season's going to go.
Oh, it's that time of year already. I forgot the Saints even existed.
Oh, you should have watched the Raider game yesterday.
That's what Bean's known for, watching the Raider game.
Sure, yeah, 45-7, so I'm feeling pretty good right now. But anyway, Ralph, being that I had to make such a large donation to St. Jude's last season.
Yeah, horrible that, given to kids with cancer. I feel bad for you, man.
You get to write off your bet.
Yeah, exactly.
Dear God.
Well, hold on. I've donated a few more times since then. I've kind of gotten into the whole
Oh, that's nice.
Good. Okay. Good.
And seeing that they, you know, the cancer thing and how a lot of the kids don't have wigs and all of that.
Right.
You, as you know, you've seen me a few times. I have hair probably about 18 inches long down my back.
Right.
That's what she said. I will make the bet this year that if the Saints have a worse record than the Eagles, I will cut my hair and donate it to Lock the Love, who I believe works with St. Jude.
Here we go again. I feel so bad for this guy, Jeff, because I just kick his ass every year, and he keeps coming back for more.
You're
a hopeful romantic, Jeff.
I mean,
you really make each year.
Pardon me?
It's not even fun anymore.
You have to be into charity if you're a Saints fan, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
All right, and then what does Ralph do if he loses?
What do you want in exchange?
This time, I want to do...
I got something that's 18 inches, but I'm not cutting it off. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, now!
You better burp it out first. just kidding.
That went ugly. All right, come on. Speed it up, dude.
As last year, when you wrote tickets. All access, the whole thing. Whole nine.
That's an easy do.
Sure is. No skin off your nose.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all access. I cut my hair if I lose, and like I said, all access if I win.
Just cut your hair, and we'll talk to you later.
Just cut it now, and then we'll give you tickets anyway. Good luck to those Saints.
It's on. You and I play each other the second game of the season.
Oh, so I know.
Yeah, you'll be hearing.
You'll be hearing.
I'll be hearing cheers from Philadelphia.
You'll be hearing.
All right, Jeff, get ready to cut your hair.
All right, man.
It's on.
Condition.
It's on.
About a conditioner. We want it in good shape when we cut it.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right.
We are going to talk to TMZ.com, find out what's going on with the latest celebrities over the weekend.
Yeah.
We have an author who wrote the Football Fans Manifesto. He's got like the top 10 rules for football fans.
Okay.
And they're quite funny, and we'll talk to him about that. Very excited to have football back finally. Internet Roundup on the way today. We're going to talk to a guy who had a heart transplant and is now competing in the Ironman competition.
Wow.
That's
ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, come on. What? Really, seriously.
Ass.
All right, you're better than everyone. Stop it now. So,
and by the way, I tread lightly on my new heart. I do not exert it. I don't want to wear that one out.
It's already used.
Exactly.
And you don't know how much. So
right.
You don't take a used car across country, right?
It's
just local driving.
This is the real deal, too. This isn't any one of the little rip-off Ironmans. This is actually one of the main ones.
The hardest one.
We talked to Quentin Tarantino late in the show on Friday. If you missed that, we've got some highlights for you coming up after 6. And we have a new breakfast that we are going to tell you about this morning at 7:15 and start giving away tickets.
Ooh.
And it's a show that we think you will love. Big band, little place. You get to ask the questions, and details are at 7:15.
Okay.
I think we're also speaking with our friend Dr. Drew this morning in the 7 o'clock hour, too. He lost a good friend over the weekend. By now, everyone's heard about DJ AM on Friday, and Dr. Drew is certainly the point man on that conversation because by all accounts, it's the worst-case scenario where a guy's a serious drug addict, manages to kick it, but then gets involved in an accident where he has to take pain medicine. And that apparently at this point is what put him back on the road to using, which is just a horrible situation.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't imagine not being able to take pain pills if you're in pain. But, you know, some people obviously can't handle that. But, man, we really liked that guy. He was, of course, we just had him at our show in May. And he was just phenomenal. Yeah. So we'll talk to Dr. Drew about that later on today, too. Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat from Monday. What's going on, Argar?
Yeah. Here I am.
Yes, you
are. It's Monday.
It is.
Woohoo!
You're feeling good.
Oh, I love Mondays.
Yes, you do.
So much.
Especially early, right?
Oh, love getting up early on Mondays.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, it's good times. It is Monday.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Billy get his ass kicked talking like that around here. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, as we do every Monday morning. Final Destination. This is it. This is the final one.
That was it.
This is the last one. America responded by rushing out to the theaters to see the last Final Destination. $28.3 million made it number one at the box office this weekend. Uh-oh, what happened?
That means it's not the last one. means we're going to make another one.
No, it's the Final Destination.
For now.
Till the penultimate destination. Inglourious Bastards, still holding in there, was number two at the box office with an additional $20 million over the weekend. Halloween 2 did pretty well for itself. Number three with $17.4 million. Then District 9. Seriously, the more I think about it, I think it's my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah, that's hanging. That's good.
G.I. Joe was fifth with Rise of Cobra. Julie and Julia was sixth, The Time Traveler's Wife. Shorts, Taking Woodstock, and G-Force rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Turns out not a lot of people wanted to go back to Woodstock.
Yeah.
Did not set their Wayback Machines for 40 years.
Myself included.
$3.8 million was all it made in its debut weekend. Congratulations to two of my favorite performers, Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. They announced on Friday that they are engaged. It's okay.
Lisa, wow. You okay?
It's all right. I love him.
Couldn't tell if that was sad or orgasmic. It's I couldn't sad. Tell what was going on over there.
It's sad. Right.
They make a lovely
sometimes
little
they sound
couple.
The same.
Yeah.
When I went to lucky enough to go to a screening of that movie Sunshine Cleaning that Emily Blunt starred in, and she was there with John, and they just two people in love. Very nice to see. So congratulations.
A little bit of a love triangle with Pam, though, isn't he also planning on marrying her? How's that going to work?
It's just a show.
TV show.
Pam Anderson.
Not reality.
Lindsay Lohan in the news. Lindsay Lohan's a thief.
A thief?
What?
That's right.
She stole.
I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it. Remember, I told you that story where she was doing a photo shoot and she left with all the clothing?
Yes.
Oh,
they couldn't
yeah.
get it back.
Borrowed clothing.
Well, now a company called 14 Carats is complaining, saying that they loaned Lindsay about $2 million worth of jewelry.
Wow.
And for her to wear to some event and whatnot, and they never got it back. And so they said, Lindsay, we'd like that back, if you don't mind. Those were just loaners. Well,
maybe she thought it was a gift.
She's saying it was in her safe during the burglary that happened last week at her Hollywood home.
The burglary where she said that they didn't take anything like a normal robbery?
No, well, they took her wall safe. They did take the safe out of the wall, yeah. And apparently the jewelry was in that safe. Mm-hmm. So she can't give it back now.
Wow. This sounds very suspicious.
Just, inside job.
Let's just see if she's wearing it here in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have to remove the stones from the settings and melt it down and reset them. She's going to have to pull a whole bank heist thing here to make it work. I don't think she's got the brains to do it, quite frankly. A Entourage-type scandal over on the set of Entourage.
What happened?
A poor young woman named Irina Voronina.
Oh, bell.
Who, if you've never seen her, is a Playboy playmate and is maybe one of the hottest women ever to live.
Wow.
Wow.
It's quite a category.
It is quite a category. She says that she was fired from Entourage because she wouldn't bang any of the guys in the cast. Which sounds like what's happening on the set of Johnny Drama's movie.
Wow.
Or his TV show, rather. She said that she appeared on several episodes of Entourage, but eventually got the axe because she kept turning down the members of the cast who wanted to spend some quality time away from the set.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
She says the rejection made them upset and bitter. Meanwhile, a representative for HBO has called the allegation unfounded and unsubstantiated and probably true, but we won't say it.
Is that their quote?
That's their quote, yeah. Come on!
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm talking about.
I know.
We got photos of her up on our internet here in the studio, and she's just... That's a woman right there.
That's a woman.
It's a wa to the man. And Sharon Osbourne is already lobbying for votes for her daughter, Kelly, on the upcoming Dancing with the Stars.
Hasn't even started yet.
I know, but Sharon wants everyone to know that Kelly has never had a dance lesson in her life.
Okay.
So? And she also said in this interview she's had very little time to prepare.
Right.
Won't that be
just
evident
like
to
everyone.
Us, the viewer?
And she's also said she's really feeling a strain since joining the competition emotionally.
Okay.
And all the rehearsal is really hurting her back. So you need to, consider that when you make your votes for Dancing with the Stars.
No, you don't. I don't vote, but...
Sympathy vote.
It's a competition.
No, Kevin, her back hurts and she's never danced before and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to cast aspersions on the veracity of her claims here, but wasn't Kelly on Broadway?
Yeah, she was in Chicago in the West End.
So she's had to have some
dance
instruction.
She didn't have any dance lessons, Mike. She's had some rehearsals for a Broadway show, but she's never had any dance lessons, in quotes.
I don't think that's a good sign that her mom is already out there trying to soften the blow a little bit.
Yeah.
Unless she's playing the lowered expectations game, and then we'll be wowed at how awesome she is.
Look at her with the bad back and everything doing that.
Yeah.
And Alicia Silverstone is in the news. I know. It's hard for me to believe, too. But don't worry. It has nothing to do with show business. She is still going on her one-woman vegan crusade about trying to get Hollywood starlets to wear her new makeup line, which is, of course, eco-friendly, cruelty-free, and vegan. And she has a new line of clothing and bags made from recycled materials like bamboo and hemp.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, Alicia, you have another hit movie, and I'll buy all the bamboo bags you have. How about that? Then we'll talk. And meanwhile, just stay off of my television screen. Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Gere is 60 years old today.
He looks great.
He does look great. That's how you want to age.
He's a good actor, too.
He is a good actor. Deborah Gibson used to be known as Debbie Gibson back in the 80s when she was one of the youngest pop stars in the world. Now she's one of the oldest former pop stars in the world. She is 39 years old today. Chris Tucker from Rush Hour. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Is 37 years old today. And Sara Ramirez from Grey's Anatomy. Celebrates her 34th birthday.
Bell? No Bell. What do you guys say?
I don't know who it is.
She's big.
She's big.
She's a big girl.
She's big. She's pretty, but pretty big.
She's a big girl.
What do you think, Lisa? You know the Grey's Anatomy.
I'm going to say she's a big girl.
Unless you have a fat Bell.
Where's the cowbell? Where's the cowbell when we need it?
It's a good question. Yeah.
My impression of a cowbell.
There you go.
I'm Rich Garman. I walk the show.
Hey, dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins. I'm a local listener, huge fan of the show, currently training to be the first ever heart transplant recipient to do the Ironman World Championship in Kona, Hawaii.
Oh, my God.
What, has he tried to burn this heart out, too, like he did the last one? Kyle?
Absolutely, yes. We're going to run this thing into the ground.
Here's the thing about the Iron Man, and for those of you that are not familiar with it, I wasn't sure exactly what it was involved, but it's a 2.4-mile swim.
Correct.
Okay, in the ocean.
2.5 miles.
Unbelievable.
Yes, and then you get out of the water, and you get on a bike, and you go 112 miles.
Yes.
And then you run a full 26.2-mile marathon all in the same day. All of those same day.
Yeah, it's a long day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, a little longer than usual, but other than that, no, not a big deal.
How did this get started? How did somebody go, you know, a marathon's just not enough? I mean, how long has the Ironman been around, Kyle?
It actually started about 30 years ago. These guys got into an argument who was the better athlete, swimmers, cyclists, or runners.
Right.
And so they combined these three Hawaii events. There was the Hawaii Marathon. There was around the island bike ride, and then there was a swim there in Honolulu, and so they combined all these events and created the Ironman, basically.
But why do them all on the same day? I mean, can't you compete against your friends doing these a week apart?
I think the idea is that, you want to be tough.
Yeah.
Want to be tough.
Yeah, I don't have any desire to be tough.
I'm good.
I'm not swimming 2 miles. I couldn't do that, let alone biking.
Most
112.
People die after a marathon. I know people who train for 6 months to run a marathon, and that's just one of the things you do.
Now, Kyle, when did you get the heart transplant?
Almost 3 years ago now. It was October of 2006.
And why did you need that? What happened to you?
I had had cancer previous, and I had a bone marrow transplant, and during that, my heart was damaged.
Okay, all right.
Wow, what a pussy.
So you get the heart transplant, and then you think to yourself, all right, I'm living on borrowed time now.
Right. Clearly, and, every day's a bonus at this point.
And I have a used heart. I have a heart that was previously in someone else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now what I'm going to do with that gift from God is I'm going to go to Kona, and I'm going to swim 2.5 miles and bike 112 miles and run 26 miles in the same day.
I'm going to squander this opportunity that the Lord has given us. What do you know about your new heart, Kyle?
As far as its previous
mileage.
Was its previous owner nice to it?
Yes.
Only take it out on the weekends, that kind of stuff.
It was a little old lady who would just take it to the store and back.
Okay.
Highway miles. It's clearly a good heart, because I'm doing things that 3 years ago I couldn't even dream of doing.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how much they tell organ transplant recipients about what they're getting put in, but I mean, do you know if it was from a 15-year-old or from a 65-year-old?
I know that he was a 42-year-old construction worker.
That's pretty good. That sounds decent.
Yeah.
Okay, and did it take you long after the operation to kind of get back up to speed? Is that a long, painful process to recover when you get something like that?
It's a pretty long process. I mean, your body is getting used to this new organ, and you're also recovering from pretty major surgery. So, yeah, it took me quite a while. They actually say that it takes really about 2 full years to fully recover from a heart transplant.
And do they tell you when you're in the hospital and you're just coming out of that surgery, do they say, it's going to take a couple of years, but then you're good for the Iron Man? Go ahead and do that. That's good for the heart. Why? Listen, you got a second chance. What's your deal? Why do you want to kill yourself again?
My heart's stronger than it was when I got it.
But do you really want to push it to the limit? You really want to test how far that heart will go? Or don't you go, I'm going to take it a little easy on this heart.
I'll just run a marathon.
Right.
Look, you can't. First of all, you can't have nice things. You've already proven that, okay? And I'm telling you, when you blow this heart out, when you're, 50 miles, into the bike ride, you blow it out, they're going to look at little Kyle on the side of the road in Hawaii, and they're going to go, we already gave him one. We're not giving him another one. He's on his own this time. I think the most remarkable thing about this is you talked about how long it takes your body to get used to a new organ, and Gene Simmons was nowhere to be found. That was the most shocking thing to me.
I thought that was a pretty good setup. But
he's not paying attention. That's the problem.
Where the hell was Gene Simmons?
Now, you're training now, I imagine, for this thing. When does it take place?
It takes place October 10th. It's actually on my heart transplant anniversary.
Okay, so
listen to that.
Day you put it in, 3 years later, it stops working.
Yeah, 3 years isn't bad.
I got you. You got an extra three years out of it.
3 years, yeah.
Now, Kyle, you mentioned in your email that you're using the whatever attention you're getting as a result of being the heart transplant runner and participant in Ironman to kind of raise awareness of organ transplants and donations. How are you doing that? You have a website or what?
I do have a website. I give it out though on air at my great peril, because I know that the Thriller will burn.
Oh no! This is a serious conversation.
Yes.
It's Iron Man Kyle.
Let the man give out the address. We're trying to save lives here, Kevin. Come on.
I missed that.
All right, I'm sorry.
That?
Go ahead.
To Iron Man.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Just keep trying.
No respect.
No, just go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hold his hands behind his back, Mike. Do not let him do it again. Let Kyle give out the information.
The problem with this is that, to me, the first time is a little rude. Second time starts getting funnier. And then if I do it like the fourth and fifth time, it's ridiculously annoying.
Okay, but now you've done it. You've had your yaps. Now we want
to
hear about it. All right,
go ahead.
Well, I have a website, which is Iron Man.
Go ahead. Seriously, go ahead.
You don't need to go to my website to become an organ donor.
Okay.
You can go.
Wait. You're already lining up another organ for after this one fails?
Well,
yes,
yeah,
I'd like
absolutely.
To give Kyle my heart next.
That's why I need people to register as organ donors, because I'm going to need another heart here soon.
Yes.
Exactly, yeah.
I like a guy that burns through them. All right.
IronManKyle.com.
Oh, Bean, you're so...
I had to help my boy out.
Wow.
Had to help my boy out.
Favorite, so.
Well, thank you. All right. Hey, real quick before you go, Kyle, how much training have you done for this? In other words, you don't do an Ironman competition to train for an Ironman competition. You just do bits and pieces of it, right?
Right. For example, this weekend I did a 6.5-hour workout on Saturday. It was a four-hour bike ride, a 2.5-hour run.
Me too.
Me too. That's odd.
I thought I saw you out there.
That's my normal weekday schedule.
The weekdays are less, but it's 6 days a week, and you do a lot of brick workouts where you combine a run and a bike or a swim and a bike, and you just get yourself I mean, you do push the mileage. I mean, like this coming weekend, I'll do a 90-mile bike ride. And,
sure, yeah.
You know, we'll do 4,000-yard swims and that kind of stuff.
Right. You don't have to tell me.
Yeah, I mean, you know the drill.
Here's the thing, though, Kyle. It's like if you buy a used car, the first thing you don't do is get in it and drive coast to coast full speed. You know what I mean? You don't floor it.
Yeah, but the car I was driving beforehand was basically a 64 jalopy.
Okay, I mean, so you got a Maserati. Why do you want to turn it into a 64 jalopy?
So just go to San Francisco and back.
We're out of time, Kyle. Iron Man Kyle. But I have to say that one of the things that really captured my imagination and I really fell in love with about your email was you talked about how Kevin is your inspiration when you're out there trying to train for the Ironman, because he has proven that despite a total lack of what's needed to be successful, he keeps on trying. And that gives you the strength to push it a little bit
Absolutely.
Further.
Absolutely. As soon as my heart starts to struggle a little bit, I think of Kevin.
No! No, don't do that. Then I'll be responsible if you need another heart.
Kyle, awesome story, dude. Please get back in touch with us after the race and let us know how it went, all right?
All right. Or you can read the obituary.
Okay, but then Kyle, after that, now, stop it.
Okay.
After you do the Ironman, all right, you're better than everybody, your heart works, now stop doing that.
Well, this isn't about being better than everybody. I really am just trying to get acoustic Christmas tickets.
There it is. There it is,
they
ladies
are tough
and gentlemen.
To get.
Wow, are you going to be bummed. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Minutes away from an announcement you'll want to be here for. It's Kevin and Bean's latest breakfast. That's coming up. By the way, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, Dana White, president of the UFC, is going to be here. The Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton. Later in the week, we've got all things college football with Petros Papadakis. Also, our friend Kevin Smith, writer-director extraordinaire, will be here. And Rodney King on the show on Friday, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you're talking about the
Rodney
fight?
Rodney King, yes, about celebrity boxing that Ralph told us about.
Can we all just get along?
That's what I think.
That's what we're going to ask him, right. Anyway, all that straight ahead right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday. What's going on?
Meanwhile, at the box office, top 10 movies at the box office this week, and Final Destination was number one,
$28.3 million. Turns out, as I suspected, a lot of us like to see really attractive young people murdered.
I agree.
Makes it easier when they're really hot.
They're beautiful people.
They're beautiful and they have everything that we don't. They're young and in shape and good looking and rich.
So they
in movies and
die?
Stuff.
They should die.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
It's a little cathartic, I think, for the average Joe. Going to see a movie about, you know, young attractive people biting.
I saw the first Final Destination and it was really good. Have they maintained the quality?
Final Destination and
you thought it was really good.
In what world?
It was really good.
That's what you saw.
I saw the first one too. Yeah.
In what world are you going to see that movie, Bean?
I'm a big fan of young people dying.
No, that's it has dying.
Yeah. We might have had somebody on that we had to see. I don't remember what the specifics were, but it was really good. I was just wondering if the series still holds up. I mean, or is it pretty played? If anyone else has seen the others, I was curious.
Wasn't
I have not.
Eva Mendes in the first one?
No, Ali Larder was. I know that.
This is good.
Yeah.
This is really good.
I can
good.
Hear us talk about bad movies all morning long, but unfortunately I have to move on.
No, please.
Inglourious Basterds was number two at the box office. Halloween 2 was number three. District 9 was four. This gets very confusing. Try to stick with me.
There's a lot of numbers.
G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra was fifth. Julie and Julia, The Time Traveler's Wife, Shorts, Taking Woodstock, and G-Force. Rounding out your top 10 rather, at the box office this weekend. Well, it looks like we're going to see Spider-Man swinging from the top of Cinderella's castle.
Huh?
In the near future, the Walt Disney Company has just bought Marvel Entertainment.
Oh!
Oh,
really?
Walt Disney has purchased all of Marvel and its 5,000 characters to use as it sees fit. Disney acquired Marvel Entertainment for $4 billion in cash and stock.
Wow.
And so all the future Marvel movies made from the Marvel comic book characters, of course, will probably now be under the Disney umbrella.
Wow.
So, and not to mention the theme parks. We're going to see the Spider-Man rides and all that kind of stuff, I'm sure, at both Disneyland and Walt Disney World. So, congratulations to Marvel, I guess. $4 billion. Pretty good deal, huh? Well, as you know by now, DJ AM, of course, is dead. Now the question is, what will MTV do with his TV show?
Yeah, they already shot the whole thing, right?
They have eight episodes in the can. The reality show called Gone Too Far featured DJ AM doing interventions with young people who had drug problems.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
How do you air a show about DJ AM intervening and stopping kids from using drugs when he died from a drug overdose his own self?
I don't know that you do.
I don't think you do either. This has to go by the wayside. If VH1 killed two shows because that douchebag who murdered the model was in them,
yeah,
I can imagine they will not air this as well. But no official word from MTV yet, so we'll have to wait and see.
We're going to talk to Dr. Drew next hour, by the way, who was pretty close to DJ AM, apparently. They were pretty good friends, so it's got to be a very tough loss for him. But imagine if you're Dr. Drew and that's your business and one of your own friends overdoses and you didn't see it coming or didn't have a way to stop it. That must really, really get to you.
Jason Biggs is now denying the story that he was attacked by an ape on the Rock of Gibraltar.
Why? Gives him street cred.
I'd
like to say that happened to me.
Threw down with a monkey.
Right, and won.
He says he was shocked to hear the story that he was attacked by a wild ape while on his vacation. He said there was no wild animal action while he was at the Rock of Gibraltar. So apparently...
it's too bad.
Not everything you know is true. According to Jason Biggs, not everything on the internet, rather, is true. So, everything I know
if
is.
If you shock the monkey, you better really shock him hard because he'll come back after you.
That's true. That's a good tip.
That is a good tip, Jed. And I haven't heard anything as exciting as this in a long, long time. Okay. I cannot wait.
Okay.
For a little project called Gonzo Ballet.
Oh. Gonzo Ballet.
Yes. This is a documentary about the Milwaukee Ballet 50 years ago that starred...
I'm already out.
Are you?
Yeah.
Wait till I pull you back in.
Right.
And then you'll say, I'm sorry, sir. May I have another? 50 years ago, the Milwaukee Ballet starred a young struggling actor named William Shatner dancing ballet on stage.
He's a ballet dancer?
He was 50 years ago.
Come on. You can't
do
everything.
How do you feel about the project now? How do you feel about it now, Kevin?
Thank you, man. I have some more. Whatever I was supposed to say.
It's the luckiest day ever.
Yeah, apparently he appeared for the Milwaukee Ballet, and they've got film footage of it, and they're going to be releasing it in October. So can't wait to see William Shatner in a tutu. And it's official. Variety Magazine has announced a fifth Rambo is in the works.
Yes.
Sylvester Stallone starring and directing as he did for 2008's Rambo. The plot of the sequel. By the way, in that movie, remember he gave up his warring ways and he put his backpack on and walked home and went to some farm, the farm side of the dirt road there, and made his peace with Vietnam and everything.
Sure. But he claims he's done in every Rambo except for First Blood. That First Blood was the only one where you could see he might continue killing. The rest of every single one, he says, oh, that's it. It's too much.
But this one, he went back to America. He was in Burma.
Burma's the war zone.
And he goes back home with his backpack on his back, and he sees his parents' house, and he walks up the driveway. That's how the movie ends. Who's he going to fight now?
Pushed. Kevin's as easy as breathing.
Maybe he's going to kill his parents.
That'd be an awesome way to start the new movie.
That'd be a good movie.
Apparently, John Rambo will this time take on Mexican drug lords.
Yes,
on the border.
Oh
nice.
God,
he's
going
to have to rescue a young girl abducted near the U.S.-Mexican border, taking on human traffickers and drug lords.
Which Rambo was it where he went over to Afghanistan and pretty much took care of all terrorists?
That was the
third
one, yeah.
The best.
Yeah, it's the best.
Live for nothing.
Yeah.
Or die for something.
Yeah.
You have guns. You ain't helping nobody.
Today's celebrity birthday is Sarah Ramirez from Grey's Anatomy. Is 34 years old today.
Aww.
Chris Tucker from Rush Hour is 37. Debbie Gibson, longtime singer and actress from the 80s. She is 39 years old. Richard Gere celebrates his 60th birthday. Van the Man Morrison is 64. And Shar Jackson.
Yeah!
Ooh. Baby mama for Kevin Federline the first time around. She is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 9 minutes after 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock. 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. Sorry.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday. You've waited all weekend long for the major announcement of our next breakfast with you. You've just got to wait a little bit longer. We'll have that for you in about 10 minutes or so. First, though, Kevin, is it true we have the hotline to heaven hooked up?
We do, as a matter of fact.
Is that what I understand? We're actually going to... Dial it up and talk to the great Michael Jackson. Find out how his birthday went in heaven. First birthday in heaven. Find out how the weekend went. Mikey, hi. Can you hear us?
Jam on. Jam on.
What are you doing there, Michael?
I'm just still celebrating my birthday.
Oh, that's right. Your birthday, yeah.
That's right. Happy
but your birthday was Friday, I thought. You're still celebrating?
I'm partying like it's 1999.
Good reference,
you sounded
Michael.
Unsure, but okay.
So you've been
I
up there.
I lost track of time up here in heaven.
Sure. I bet yeah. you do, yeah. It's been a couple of months already since you've been gone. How do you like it up there?
It is great.
It sounds noisy. What?
It is heavenly.
What's going on there?
That's why they call it heaven.
Is that right?
It's heavenly.
Mm-hmm.
I
yes.
see. Okay. What about all those people in the background? What's going on? Is that part of your party?
Yes, it is. I'm here on Heaven's Playground.
Okay.
We've got kids all over the jungle gym and the swing set,
mm-hmm.
and we're just having a great time.
And their parents but, and guardians?
Not so much.
Okay.
There must be some adults
you
there,
too,
though.
You must be shorter than this sign to ride this ride. It says at the front.
What are you pointing at when you say that?
Oh, this sign right here.
But, Michael, you're in heaven.
Exactly.
And those kids are in heaven,
it's
more importantly.
My idea of heaven, baby.
Right, but...
right. Jam on!
Oh, come on. But...
If I just had some propofol, it'd be perfect.
But the poor kids have already died. Isn't that bad enough? Now you're going to put them through whatever you have in mind?
How dare you? How dare you assume that I would do anything to hurt a hair on these children's heads? That is just... That is so... You... What? I should... You... Oh,
Michael?
I am so...
Upset?
Faux outrage.
Faux outrage. So
faux outrage. Right now.
I'm just so surprised when you get to heaven, it seems like there must be so many people that you admire that you've never had the chance to meet, you know?
Whatever. There are kids here.
That's true.
Whatever with people I want to meet.
All right,
and even the angels look like kids in diapers and wings.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
So great.
Wow, I'm uncomfortable with this.
I love being dead.
Do you follow what's going on? Have you followed the aftermath of your death, though, with all the fighting and all the people coming forward and saying yes. they're your kid and all the people
yes.
fighting over where you're going to be buried and when? I mean, you keep track of all that?
Yes, I've been following it, and I have to tell you, I don't give a crap.
Oh, really? You don't care?
Because I'm dead.
But what about the kid that from San Francisco that says he's your 24-year-old illegitimate love child or whatever?
Whatever.
You don't care?
I'm dead.
Yeah, that's true.
I am just... glad to be out of the mix, quite frankly.
All right, how about this? June 25th is when you died.
Right.
Now it's just about September, and you still haven't been buried.
Yeah, Thursday, apparently, they're going to bury me.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I had to tell you, I visited the body this weekend.
You did?
As sort of a birthday present to myself.
Uh-huh.
And I have never looked better.
Is that right?
It amazed me.
Really?
I guess all the propofol must have preserved me.
Really?
Because I look awesome.
Most people 2 months after death are not looking awesome.
I know. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
It must be all the plastic surgery or something, but I look great.
Is there
I almost
any
thought
truth?
I was going to moonwalk when I saw him. That's how good I look.
We've heard a report that your nose is missing, though, that somehow your nose got missed in transfer from all the various places you've gone. Is that true?
Yes. The nose is gone.
Okay.
But now it's finally the size I wanted it.
Which is gone.
None.
Gone.
I wanted it none size. And I got down to that. All right, then. Okay.
All right.
Great talking to you guys.
Happy birthday, Michael. Great to catch up with you. Say hi to the kids.
Just ran out of questions.
We really sort of did.
Yeah.
All right. See you later. Why am I the only one on the Kevin and Bean show with taste? That's what I want to know. Why can't Major Announcement come in and help us with this?
I wanted him to.
Major Announcement! He comes in, he tells us all about the new Kevin and Bean breakfast. It's funny. What's wrong with you people?
Is Bean talking?
Yeah. Major Announcement is our man. Why isn't he here? We're about to make a major announcement.
Because no one finds him as funny as you.
That's why.
I love Major Announcement. So get rid of the Major Announcement music, because that's not going to happen.
I hope you meet Corporal Punishment later today. How about that?
Wow.
We do breakfast with. These are fantastic because it's a huge band. We do it in a little place. We bring listeners. You get a chance to actually ask questions of the band yourself, and they perform live.
It's an amazing experience.
And we've done it with many, many bands through the years.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Johnson, Blink 182, Radiohead.
Hold on, everybody.
Because I'm just a girl.
Nine Inch Nails.
Ladies and gentlemen, Metallica.
U2.
Foo Fighters.
Let's hear it for Weezer.
Breakfast with the Killers.
Please welcome Coldplay.
And it was all yellow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Linkin Park.
Breakfast with Green Day on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about some more live music?
All right, so those are some of the past breakfasts.
Yep.
Just a handful.
But you can kind of figure out by who has new albums out, who might want to do a breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And in this particular case, it is a little band called Muse.
Yeah!
Which is pretty amazing.
Yes.
We're going to do breakfast with Muse, and we're going to do it in New York City.
Yeah!
First time.
Well, there's a nice twist.
First time we've ever done a breakfast out of state. And we're going to give you people opportunities to come join us.
What do you mean by you people?
The listeners?
Okay.
What do you think?
Oh, I didn't know you were looking at when you said that. I just thought. I thought maybe that's how you roll. I don't know.
No, we're going to bring listeners with us.
Okay.
So, Muse in Manhattan. So, not only is it round trip, airfare, hotel in New York City. Not only do you get that going for you, but then you get to show up to the Kevin and Bean Show and get a chance to interview Muse and watch them perform.
That's pretty cool, right?
It's very cool.
That's amazing. That's too big for this show.
Keep listening for your chance to win on the Kevin and Bean Show. And let's give them some details, as a matter of fact. Today, this afternoon, between 5 and 5:30, we are going to play Uprising by Muse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Between 5 and 5:30. When you hear it, be caller 20. You don't go into a drawing. You win a trip to New York.
That's it.
Just like
Boom.
That.
Caller 20. You win automatically. You come to New York with us, and you join us for our breakfast with Muse.
That is pretty great.
Pretty cool. Between 5 and 5:30 this afternoon, all the details are at krock.com.
Listen to K-Rock all this week and instantly win a trip to New York.
I'm going to see you at the gig we're doing on the world-famous K-Rock.
Today between 5 and 5:30. When we play Muse, be caller 20 at 800-520-1067. I'm in the new Muse CD, The Resistance, in store September 15th.
And join Kevin and Bean for this exclusive event. Huge band, intimate, private performance, and live interview.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Muse in Manhattan.
The only way to get in, win on K-Rock.
Thanks to Warner Brothers.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 25 minutes till 8 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, we just announced our breakfast with Muse in Manhattan. I got my first email request. And, of course, this isn't how it works. We're not encouraging you to email if you want to go. The way to go is to continue listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm a listener here in New York City. I love Muse. You wouldn't even have to buy me tickets to go to New York. So, please, can I have tickets? Andy, I'm sorry. That's not the way it works.
Nope.
Unfortunately.
But we did just announce it, and we will give you more details and more chances to win breakfast with Muse in Manhattan coming up from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, and we are going to be in New York City for the MTV Awards.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the weekend that it's going to be happening. All right, let's say good morning to our old friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky. Yay. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm a little confused while I was sitting on hold here. That song, is that a song K-Rock plays? MGMT? I'm really MGMT on K-Rock?
Yeah, I think that was the first.
Oh, my God. I thought... I wish they played a little Chili Peppers, a little MGMT. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, we just decided to give it a spin and just see if people accept it.
You know what's funny? You know how your radio sort of identifies now the station, the song that's playing?
Mm-hmm.
Mine always says, without exception, K-Rock, MGMT. It's stuck on.
All the time. Yeah. Well, wait till you hear the new song we've got called Sex and Candy. It's going to blow your mind. When you start playing that one, you're going to love it. All right, Dr. Drew, we're yucking it up, but obviously we're all a little sad here today because we have lost a friend of the station, and I know a friend of yours personally, DJ AM, by now most of our listeners know, unfortunately, was found dead at only 36 years old on Friday afternoon. And the first thing I thought is, dude just played Weenie Roast, was just playing our big summer concert with Travis Barker and looked great. And I talked to him and he seemed fine and happy. And I guess that's the frustration of your business is you really can't tell too much by the public persona of a person what's going on in their personal life, right?
That's exactly right. And I was sir, it's so funny. This thing has struck me pretty hard, and I sort of get a loss for words because he was a very good friend of mine and a great guy, and he taught me a few things. He taught me about selfless giving. I would send people to him to help them with their recovery, and he would, by his own words, say he would go to the mat for people that were generally interested in recovery. And yeah, on the outside, things were going great, in fact. And he was, I mean, deeply, oh, God, it's so funny. When I first heard the news, I thought, just no, impossible. It's just
right.
not possible. And then not him. And, Seth Binzer, his former bandmate from
Crazy Town,
right? Shifty, who we treat on Celebrity Rehab right. 1, who, and Sober House. And you'll see him again on Sober House 2, where I reluctantly treat him because I really put him out to pasture as dead. And I was always telling him, you've got to talk to AM. If you just talk to AM, because Seth, you're the one that's going to die. And I just talked to Seth a couple of days ago, and it's like, now it's you, man.
Wow.
He's the one. And here's what seems to have happened, is that after the, and this is what I'm hearing, I don't have any direct knowledge of this, but I think this fits for me, is that after the plane accident, he developed sort of a post-traumatic stress reaction, was probably appropriately given some sleep medicine and anti-anxiety medicines, but then unfortunately stayed on them. And I'm telling you, and any listener needs to understand this, that if you have addiction and you are then taking a medication that activates that biology, even if you're controlling and appropriately using the medication in question, your disease will remit, will reawaken. Mm-hmm. It will come crashing back. And that seems to be what happened here when a few stressors occurred in his life, and pow. That was
and done. By the way, maybe the ultimate stress in the world would be a plane going down and being on fire and your friend being on fire. What should a guy like that do? Because fire burns, from what I hear, are the most painful things ever.
Yeah, you're assuming that he was on pain meds. I don't think that's what he was on, although the AP quoted me as saying pain meds. I never said pain meds.
Oh,
I think
see.
It was anti-anxiety medicine.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
It was Xanax or Klonopin or something. And, I'm sure, I just wish he had talked to me about this. I'm sure in his mind, he was saying, look, this has really helped me. The doctor's prescribing. I'm not abusing it. I feel fine.
Right.
But that's the pernicious thing about this disease. I mean, I really am starting to feel like an oncologist when all my friends and patients have cancer, and they just die of this thing. And the reality is that the prognosis with addiction is worse than with most cancers. And it just,
Is that right?
Yes, it is. Addiction is a deadly condition, and people don't appreciate that. They don't even want to consider it a disease, and yet it kills with greater ease than cancer.
So, Dr. Drew, so if I'm trying to put the pieces together, so he's taken the anxiety medicine, which is probably appropriately prescribed to him. How does he go from there to, by all accounts, it sounds like he was found with a crack pipe in his lap? What's the trigger there?
That's what you got to understand. I'm glad you're asking that if it's not clear from what I'm saying. Addiction is a biological disorder in the motivational systems in the deepest part of the brain, and it changes your thinking and your motivational priorities. So if you're taking anything that activates that biology, even subtly, you will begin thinking and motivated to do things that you would never do otherwise. So even though his recovery is solidly intact, when the stresses occur, he starts going, screw it, I'm just going to do this. What's it worth? What's the big deal? He doesn't make the phone calls.
Right.
Because his disease is already activated by the Xanax or whatever he was taking. And it's something I've seen hundreds and maybe now thousands of times. You can't stay sober on prescribed medication, even appropriately taken. It can happen for a while. You can stay sober for a while, but eventually your disease will explode, which is exactly what happened here. He was out, apparently, very briefly, but very intensely.
Mm-hmm. And what's really, you can't look at this from a logical perspective because he wasn't thinking clearly, but, here's a guy who had more awareness than the average man on the street about drugs and addiction. He has lost friends. He's been on the Sober House. He's done his own show for MTV where he counsels other addicts. If anybody should have been aware, hey, if I'm getting in over my head, I need help, it would have been DJ AM, you'd think.
But that's the point, that if he had not been taking a substance for those many months, that all would have kicked in. But when the disease is active, it distorts all of that. None of that matters. It easily blows right past all that.
It just kind of goes on autopilot?
It's a disturbance of motivational priorities. So the things that we normally use to buttress ourselves against bad choices service the bad choices. So you start thinking it's a good idea to do these not so good things.
Oh, man.
And that's how the disease works.
We are speaking to our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky on the line right now about the death of his friend DJ AM on Friday. Dr. Drew, of course, is the co-host of Loveline, which you can hear all over this great land of ours weekday nights. Hey, how tough is it to overdose, Dr. Drew? I mean, if you're just sitting around smoking a little crack, that's not ordinarily going to kill you, is it?
No, that's right. I haven't heard the autopsy report yet, but my bet would be a heart attack or a stroke because.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's how you die from cocaine. And I don't think this was suicidal, although he's had previous suicide attempts when he was using. And certainly, you know, people get really depressed and desperate, particularly a long-term recovering person, when they realize they're back in their disease. And it's possible it was that, but I've not heard any evidence that that's in fact the case. Let me just tell you, I can't tell you how this hurts me. I cannot tell you. As I'm talking about it, it's just awful.
Well did you know him? What was your relationship with him?
If you look at my MySpace page, he's on my front page because he's the one that set up my MySpace page. We were always close over the years. I mean, mm-hmm. I just felt a deep connection to this guy. Let me just tell you, we got a second quick story.
Sure.
He was on the show one night and he had a pair of shoes on. I lied. I go, "Damn, I love those shoes." He goes, "I'll get you a pair." And I said, "No, come on, don't be silly." He showed up at Ann's office, producer Ann, at K-Rock. I just happened to be there meeting with Kevin Weatherly. And he showed up with shoes the next day.
Wow.
And I said, "Ann, what are you doing?" He goes, I was uncomfortable. And he goes, "Stop it." He goes, "This is how I stay sober, is by being of service to somebody every day. Today, I want to thank you for being the object of my service. You're how I stay sober today. So just accept this on my behalf."
Wow.
And when you're the object of that kind of giving, it really catches your attention. I've rarely been the object of that, and it just takes your breath away. And it's not going out and adopting babies and, you know, feeding the world. It's just simple, selfless acts of service. We rarely do that as human beings, and it's so powerful. And for people in recovery, it's so important.
That's a really nice story, Dr. Drew. I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to speculate what it must be like to be Travis Barker today.
Travis, it's probably like me. You know, it's just, this guy gets under your skin. You love this guy easily. Yeah. And it's just, the problem with Travis is that he's a part of his life regularly, and so it's going to leave a giant, giant hole. Not only that pain of this great guy being needlessly taken away from us and just not supposed to happen. It's just not supposed to happen. But the hole that Travis must feel, it makes me worry that Travis is going to use too.
Yeah.
When they had the plane accident, wasn't it that AM put out the flames that Travis had?
That would make sense.
Saved his life.
That would be totally consistent with Adam.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking about Travis all weekend long, and I saw the messages that people were tweeting to him, and obviously everybody is praying for him in addition to DJ's other friends and family. But, I mean, to Travis, DJ AM must have been the one bright spot that friendship grew so close after that plane crash and that horrible accident. I mean, he lost other friends in that accident, but DJ was his man, and they survived it together, and they fought back together, and they made they went out on the road and did all those shows together, and it seemed like they were as thick as they could be together. It's like losing a best friend.
It is losing a best friend. I'm hearing, I think probably that's the reason Travis was able to get back into Blink, because he had the support of AM. I'm hearing that his relationship with his ex-wife is going better because of AM. AM is his death cannot have been in vain. People are inspired to make good on their relationships and with other people that they may have been estranged from. I got to tell you, for some reason, I'm worried about Mandy Moore. I'm worried because she was really tight with him, even though they weren't romantically involved anymore.
Right.
She seems more than anybody shattered by this, and I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Well, it was an awful thing and a terrible, terrible shock, that's for sure. And we can hear the pain in your voice, Dr. Drew, and we know it's been a tough weekend and a tough day for you today, but we appreciate you carving out some time to speak with us about it today.
I really appreciate you giving me the chance to tell stories about him and talk about him, because we all need to remember this man. He's a good guy.
See you soon, Drew. Thanks, dude.
Okay.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:54.
Keep listening for more details on our just-announced Breakfast with Muse in Manhattan. We'll tell about it, give you your chance to win on the way right now. Time for Ralph Garman, Princeton, class of 1955.
Princeton, 55. Good to meet you.
Now I'm a drug dealer.
I don't know what that means.
Mad Men last night, bitch!
No, yeah, I don't watch it.
So good!
You love Mad Men. Kevin, it's your favorite.
I will tell you how good Mad Men is. Mad Men last night managed to make a woman playing an accordion sexy. That's how good it is. That's how good it is.
Wow. She looked amazing. That does not
Did you seem, ever think that no. would be possible?
That's not a good winning combination.
Last night, Christina Hendricks, the smoking hot hourglass-shaped redhead on that show,
in a low-cut dress,
forced by her tool of a husband to play the accordion to entertain their dinner guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, this is going to go bad. And then she starts rocking this French song, and she's making these little noises and everything, and just looking smoking hot.
There's some things that should never be able to be made sexy. It just shouldn't work.
I wouldn't have thought it was possible if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes.
I brought in a clip, by the way, Ralph, because I thought you might want to talk about Christina Hendricks from last night's Bad Men. Really, it just shocked me that she would pull that out at a dinner party.
I don't remember that part of the song. But
weird.
But, I was watching True Blood. That's what I was watching.
Good
bunch
show.
Bunch of zombies and all their eyes are black and they're killing each other. And
it's a good show, too.
Oh, it's strong.
I'm just saying.
All right,
there's
I'm
something about seeing Campbell dance the Charleston.
I'd rather watch Kevin act out True Blood than watch True Blood.
Kevin should do a one-man stage show where he
does bring it to life.
He enacts all the roles.
That is so honked up.
True Blood. Speaking of True Blood, glad you brought that up, Kevin. In Touch magazine did a poll of the sexiest vampires.
Okay.
Sometimes I hate my life.
Yeah,
when I have to do stories like this.
No,
hey, let's
one.
Take a look at who are the sexiest vampires in Hollywood. I feel like Billy Bush.
Oh, don't.
Just a major tool for those of you who don't know who Billy is.
How dare you?
Here is the results. True Blood star Alexander Skarsgård, first in the lineup. Sexiest Hollywood vampire. Congratulations, Alexander. Second was Vampire Diaries Ian Somerhalder. He, of course, was on Lost.
Yes.
Played Boone on Lost.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The series isn't even on the air yet, but he's already the second sexiest vampire. Third.
Well, that's already shaky then.
The last one out of the top three, Robert Pattinson from Twilight. He is the third sexiest vampire. It's all male vampires.
I was going to say, there's a lot of female vampires on True Blood.
No, this is just the dudes.
Oh, all right.
These are just the guys.
Well, that's a bad list.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it's funny that Robert Pattinson's in the big Twilight series, and
he's considered dreamy.
Third. Yeah. He's third.
Yeah. Behind a guy that doesn't even have a show on yet.
That's right. I think if he washed his hair, he could shoot right up the poles.
With a bullet. Oh! Personality, too.
With a bullet. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday morning. Final Destination was number one this weekend. $28.3 million made it so. Inglourious Basterds came in at number two. You know, when we had Quentin in last week, we didn't get a chance to ask him why he spells bastards wrong in the title.
Yeah, we didn't.
I know. That
forgot
was
that.
Inglourious Basterds.
Mistake, not
with an E after the T instead of an A. I read an interview this weekend, however, that he said he just thought it sounded that's how it should be spelled.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what we get to decide?
Apparently, when you're Quentin, you do. You get to title your movie anything you like.
It would solve a lot of my spelling problems.
Yes, it would.
Miss Cleo.
Phonetically spelling everything.
I think he intentionally honked up Inglorious, too. That's not right either.
That's not right.
Excuse me, both of them.
Yeah. $20 million made it number two. Halloween 2 was third. District 9 was fourth. G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra was fifth. Julie and Julia. Whatever. Sixth.
Still in the top ten.
Sixth. The Time Traveler's Wife was seventh. Shorts Taking Woodstock and its debut was number nine. And then G-Force rounded out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Bean, did you watch Wizards of Waverly Place, the movie?
I did not.
What?
Wait a minute.
Very,
How
very
How could you not? It's for children. How could you not watch it?
Follow-up question. Did you TiVo it?
I didn't. Was it on this week?
Good.
Yes.
Excellent.
Friday night on the Disney Channel.
Our man Bean's coming back to us.
Wizards of Waverly Place, of course,
I've had company. I've been crazy busy.
Demi Lovato.
It was Matt Money Smith's birthday that day.
Okay.
And I saw his tweets of that night, drinking Natty Ice and watching Wizards of Waverly Place.
Oh, how sad is that?
He knows
Natty Ice. Dude's got his own radio show. Can't he afford a little better brew than Natty Ice?
I apologize. It was Natty Light.
Oh, Natty Light. Yeah. I didn't even think Natty made an ice.
They do, but it was Natty. Yeah. It was Natty Light. I apologize.
It was apparently the second most watched Disney cable show in history.
Wow,
11.4 million viewers tuned in,
dude,
to watch that hairy broad cast some spells.
She hairy?
No, she's not hairy.
Who's the one we've seen the photos of?
That's
Vanessa Hudgens.
That's right.
Yeah, she's
Demi Lovato.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Vanessa Hudgens is strong, too. She needs a depilatory.
She does.
apparently, the only show that was higher rated on the Disney Channel ever was High School Musical 2. Of
course.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Big night. Big night for wizards everywhere.
Giddy up.
Oasis is broken up.
Really? What a surprise.
How about that?
Those two guys can't get along?
On Friday night, Noel said that he quit the group, and this was his reasoning, that he could not go on working with Liam one day longer. That was his official reason for leaving. Now, Oasis was supposed to perform in Paris Friday night.
Right.
But the concert was canceled because they broke up before they could hit the stage. Noel apologized to fans in Paris who didn't get to see the show and thanked Oasis fans all over the world for their support for the last 18 years, by the way, they've been together.
Wow.
They've broken up before, too, though.
Yeah. But this time, this is it.
This is it.
But this is it. Yeah. Noel said he's moving on. He has a family and a football team to indulge. I'll see you somewhere down the road, he wrote on the official band's website. So, there you go. No more.
Those two have never gotten along.
Nope.
Ever.
They've just been... Right out of the womb, they were battling.
Just beating each other up
those
the whole
two
time.
Brothers.
I have a clip of the new Oasis song.
Yes.
No, bet you guys would like to.
All right. How can you break up when you're making magic like that?
Yeah, how can you? And Kevin, I'm surprised to see you here today.
Why?
I thought you would be in Mexico City.
Because?
Because that's where they broke the record this weekend, the Guinness Book of World Records official record. For most number of people ever to dance the Thriller dance routine.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently they had 12,937 people in front of Mexico City's Monument of the Revolution. That's where they staged it. And they all danced the Thriller routine.
How do they do that?
Well, they turn on Thriller and then they all dance. Pretty much, that's how they
Wow.
do it. So congratulations to all you people who have no life whatsoever.
Good use of their
that's
time.
That's pretty gay.
It sure is. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sarah Ramirez from Grey's Anatomy is 34 years old today. Shar Jackson, baby mama to Kevin Federline. The OG baby mama.
Sure.
She's 33 years old today. Chris Tucker from Rush Hour is 37 years old. Actress, singer Debbie Gibson, also known as Deborah Gibson. Most recently, I thought she was she appeared in that horror movie with Fernando Llamas. About the attack of something that attacked.
I'm with you. It was a giant octopus. That's what it
thing.
Was.
Yes.
Wow.
Very I saw that.
39
that I did
years
see.
Old.
What?
That's why being so busy. He's watching all that crap.
Actor Richard Gere, just a solid guy.
Gerbil.
In every movie he makes, just a solid,
no.
solid guy.
What?
Stop
no.
with the
Don't
gerbil.
Do
no, no, you know, have had enough time gone by and we can let the gerbil story
why
go
you
away.
Think I, said-
I don't think so.
Why would I think you said gerbil? Because you just said gerbil. That's why. That's why.
You're supposed to
put your hand sort of in front of your mouth.
Yeah,
you're
not supposed even. You're not supposed to even oblique. It was just very right out there. That's why I think you said it because you said it. He's 60 years old.
Try and cover it up, you know.
Sorry, dude.
Just say it.
Ooh, why'd you think I said that? Ooh. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The listeners have been frothing at the bit for us to cover this story because it's right in our wheelhouse about one of our very favorite people, Bob Dylan.
Frothing at the bit, have they been?
Maybe frothing at the mouth.
Frothing at the mouth or chomping at the bit.
Chomping
one of the two.
At the bit, yeah.
I don't know. They're doing all of those things.
I don't know if you've seen these, but with the GPS in the cars, you can get different voices. And for a long time, it's been British man, British mm-hmm. woman, American man, American woman, Southern, you know, whatever.
Right.
Now they're starting to use celebrities.
That's a great idea, by the way.
You can get a Mr. T one where he says, turn left, fool.
I'd love it.
You can get Burt Reynolds. You can get Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City. Former Boston Red Sox ace pitcher Kurt Schilling. All these people do the voices so that they can give you directions on wherever it is you're going.
Isn't that a great idea, though, Kevin?
Yes.
Tell me you wouldn't get in your car excited every single day if you knew that Flava Flav was going to tell you how to get home. I mean, come
on. That would be awesome. I forget where I was. I think it was in Atlanta for something, and I chose the Chinese one just because it's such a strange language to us that, you know, that we don't know.
That would be funny.
And just because it cracked me up.
Just for laughs.
Yeah, because you can see the arrow where you're supposed to go. You don't have to hear what they're saying. But now, apparently, the BBC is reporting that Bob Dylan is one of the latest to join the ranks of the GPS. Bob Dylan.
Really?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is, shouldn't it be somebody you can understand if you're trying to get directions from him?
Does it come with subtitles? I don't know.
Bob Dylan doing GPS.
It should come with some titles.
That would be awesome, too. I would get that just for the fun of it. As a matter of fact, they sent one over, and I actually took a ride with the Bob Dylan GPS.
Oh.
You want to hear it? K-Rock
yes,
microphones
please.
Were there. This is okay. Bob Dylan GPS. Okay, I'll just punch in the restaurant's address.
Yeah, and then it, and then it,
what?
And then it, and then it.
Which way do I go?
Yeah, nay.
Right?
Yeah, nay.
Left? Do I get on the freeway? Where's the on-ramp? Where?
Where? You got me.
So Bob,
that didn't go so well.
He's not going to be doing that. He thought he was. Gave it a run. Didn't work.
Kevin, I mean, Afroline is on the air. It's our answer machine we have set up for you at 323-520-AFRO. You call us, leave a message, we play it back.
Here's the thing about working at radio stations. It's really fun because everyone agrees on the music. And that's refreshing.
Yes.
And nobody disagrees with what songs we play, and that is so nice. I love it.
I'd like to make myself a lead.
Remember this? 5 minutes ago?
Sure. Everyone loves the Fireflies.
Ah! Firefly song, why do you guys play this crap? Ah! Ah! Damn it!
It has been a while since the song has been so polarizing. Believe it or not, because we asked our boss about this the other day. We're like, hey, the Fireflies, that's a mistake, right? He's like, dude, people love it.
Or.
So apparently there's
or.
Or. Was it or? And the flip side of that is.
Yeah.
Apparently there are people who do love that song. Maybe there are other people not so much.
It is the single gayest song that has ever been aired, though, on this radio station.
That's possible.
But we're not saying that's a bad thing.
Nope, not at all. All right. There's a hockey announcer in Florida that we've been making fun of for quite some time.
Well, making fun of, yeah. If by that you mean idolizing, Randy Moeller calls for the Florida Panthers, and he has developed his own particular style.
Kreps down the right side. He's got Scratchlands with him. Kreps fires the shot. Rebound. They score! Pour some sugar on me!
That's an example of what he does with every goal.
After the goal, he has some line. It's usually not from a song. Usually it's from a movie. It's a movie line.
Yeah.
But it's always different, and that's what this call is about.
He shoots, he scores! You know, we Armenians are just like the
See, because the Armenian comedian said that on a live broadcast on our show.
Oh, that was one of the funniest ones ever. And we'll never forget it.
Yeah, Megan Fox, my penis is happier around her.
All right. Lisa's been doing some commercials, and this guy would like to speak with you about one of them.
Hey, Lisa May, I got some skull candy for you.
No,
I don't. That didn't.
No,
not really. Yeah.
All right, how about this one then?
Hey, Lisa, I heard you doing an advertisement for the Big Carl. I was wondering if it's also hot.
All right, now that one works.
That one works.
That one
You're
works.
Down with that, really?
Well, no, I mean I know what he meant at least.
Oh, all right, all right. We had Miss Cleo on last week, and we were talking about her celebrating Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Miss Cleo, this is Ashit Madros from the Arab American League. We are calling to let you know that you are no longer allowed to practice Ramadan under Islam law. It has occurred to our league that any bitch that decides to wear on a bed where she is to jump up and down with the jacks and the jumping of boobies and not to pay off the people she lost the bet to, is not worthy to practice our rituals and our rights. You're a liar who lies.
That's true, aww, by the way. Well said. She is an affront to Islam, the fact that she welched on the bed. I agree. Muhammad is very disappointed in her.
And he's not the only one. You can do a lot of things with audio. And that's this guy is being very creative, and I hope he does more of this stuff because it cracks me up.
I like Dean when he's drunk. So you meet a guy like that, you know, as an actor, and then you're hoping that he's nice. What did it turn out being like to work with him so much?
I think I'm either actually drunk or he somehow slowed me down.
I love that. If you could do anything with our voices to make us sound worse, like that's possible, feel free. The number is 323-520-AFRO.
been a quarterback watching you would ever know.
Would have been a quarterback watching you. I can't tell
what they're saying.
What
the hell is he saying?
It's the world famous K-Rock at 8:40.
I love me some Modest Mouse so much, by the way. They're new,
too, but why can't we understand their lyrics?
Yeah, that's a legitimate complaint because you want to sing along, but you can't really. Their new EP that's out now called No One's First But You're Next is so awesome. Like every song on it is great. I just love that band. All right, real quick, we're going to talk to Dax Holt, our pal from TMZ.com, in a minute. He's not on the phone yet, right?
He is on the phone. Have time for this if you want to play it.
No, let's talk to Dax because he's got much more important stuff. I had something that I wanted to get back on, but if Dax is there, let's talk to him. Hey, Dax, welcome on, my friend.
Hey, Kevin, hey, Bean, you like me?
Hello.
How are you guys
TMZ.com, we're great, is the entertainment website of record, and of course the TMZ television show all over the globe. Check your local listings. Bad, bad, bad scene in New York City. You were the first, as you always are, to report the tragic death of DJ AM. They did an autopsy already, like Saturday. They already did an autopsy. Do we have any idea what they found out yet, Dex?
They did the autopsy. It's inconclusive. They're kind of have to wait for the toxicology results. So they're saying, we're going to have to hold off. You know, it's looking like an overdose because he had the crack pipe in this house. He had a little baggie of crack in his lap at the time. Wow. So it's just sad. I mean, he was really the poster child for, rehabbed celebrities. And he's been doing a show with MTV to help addicts recover. And it's just sad. He said that he had gone into a meth house and bought a crack pipe and said, look, this is how easy it is to buy crack and crack pipes. And then he looked at his hand going, oh, maybe I shouldn't have this in my hand right now.
Yeah, that doesn't seem good.
We talked to Dr.
Easier to buy crack. Watch this.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We talked to Dr. Drew earlier in the show, Dax, and he echoed your sentiments about how super nice guy this guy was and how committed he seemed to be to his recovery. But he also said, it's a tough row to hoe if you are forced to take some medicine because of, in his case, the plane crash. I mean, the guy had some real issues dealing with the plane crash, not just physically, but mentally with anxiety and everything else. I mean, he kind of had to take something just to get by in the last few months.
Yeah, and flying was a big part of his career. He'd have to fly at all these clubs around the United States, so he couldn't get around that. So once you have to fly, well, the doctors would kind of say, okay, we'll take this Xanax to get you on the flight, and maybe it was just not good for an addict to be taking those types of drugs.
Yeah, well, I guess not, but I don't know in his case what you should do. I mean, how do you get around that?
It is a tough situation. Yeah.
Was DJ AM one of the celebs that you guys kind of had in your crosshairs at TMZ where you follow him and kind of know what he's up to? Did you have any indication that he was using anything at all before this weekend, Dex?
I don't think a lot of people did. It seems like it came on pretty quickly because, all the sources that we've talked to said he was clean and sober. Like, we saw him weeks ago, he was clean and sober.
Yeah.
So it must have just been a really quick thing where he tried it again, and it was too much for his body to handle.
Yeah. Yeah. 36 years old. So tragic. All right, let's turn our attention to the top story on TMZ right now. I did not get a chance to watch the Larry King interview with Chris Brown. Did Larry King know who Chris Brown was or why he had been booked on the show?
Come on. Larry,
that's a legitimate question.
Larry is so clueless these days.
He's like, who are you? Why are you?
Yes.
I heard you beat down a woman. I don't know. Well, the best part, I think, of the interview is Chris Brown saying, well, I don't remember beating Rihanna.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's his thing. He's on there. We put the clip up, and he's basically saying, yeah, I don't remember what happened that night.
What, is he claiming that he was under the influence of something, or?
No, just that maybe lapses. I have no idea. I don't know how you could possibly say you don't remember that night, especially when we put up the whole affidavit and listing exactly what happened that night.
Right.
How he beat the crap out of her.
It's not exactly been, a secret since it happened. I mean, pretty much all the details are out there.
Yeah.
He's a lying liar who lies.
I think he's trying to say, well, if I don't remember, maybe no one else will remember.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, look over here. Look over here. Unless he just doesn't want to be on tape. Maybe he just doesn't want to have that tape circulate of him describing it, figuring that it'll get a lot more play and that it'll, continue to reinforce in people's minds that he's the dude.
Well, don't you remember he already put out a YouTube video saying sorry and he wanted to apologize the day after, but his lawyer wouldn't let him.
Yeah. But now he doesn't remember what he was apologizing for? I don't buy it.
So he has no idea why he's going to be doing community service and paying money and all that?
Yeah,
exactly.
Just not a clue.
What a shocker.
So ridiculous.
And what else is going on TMZ? I guess you're getting all geared up for the big Michael Jackson funeral this week, right, Dax?
Well, let's hope he actually gets buried this time.
Is it going to happen?
They've pushed it back and pushed it back, so we'll see.
It's been 2 months. What are they waiting for? Bury the guy.
Yeah, and you know what? They've said at Forest Lawn, If you are a fan and you don't, if you're not family, do not come to Forest Lawn. You will not even see the grass of Forest Lawn. You'll be so far away.
Right, because they're going to have a, you know, the police are going to set up barriers and the whole deal. So
it's costing the Jackson family a lot of money. It's going to be like $150,000 for them to do this during the weekday and shut down all the streets over there.
Well, I'm glad they're paying for it.
Yeah, at least they're paying for it. Yeah. One other story that I wanted to mention, Dax, and that is Aubrey O'Day's sex toy. Now, that picture of the girl on the right is not a sex toy.
It's one of those real dolls.
No, it's not. I mean, that's not possible.
Yes. Kevin is saying, Dax, that she's too hot to be fake. He's saying she has to be real.
You look at those pictures and you go, oh, that's Aubrey O'Day and that's another chick. You just go, well, she's cute too.
Mm-hmm.
They make them look pretty realistic.
What's happening with that?
Well, yeah, we just put it up as a side-by-side saying, look at Aubrey O'Day. She looks like a real doll. And she
the
really
real
does.
Doll looks better than Aubrey O'Day, which is odd.
That's sad.
Yes.
But so true.
Wow.
I would certainly rather date the real doll than Aubrey O'Day, having seen Aubrey O'Day interviewed. I'll tell you that. That's absolutely true. Wow.
Have you guys seen what she does to her poor dog?
No.
She, like, dyes the dog's hair.
Don't even start.
Really?
No.
I feel bad. I'm like, take the poor dog away from this girl.
What, like pink hair and stuff like that?
Blue. She'll match her outfit to the dog's hair.
Dear God.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awful. She's the
and
best.
Then dress it up.
Last question for Dax, of course, from TMZ.com, TMZ Television. Check your local listings. Harvey's on vacation this week, right? Which is why we're talking to you. Please tell me he didn't go someplace where he's going to get more sun.
Let's just say, wherever he's at, I have called the paparazzi and sent them his way.
Excellent.
Good work.
That would be so awesome if you did that.
Good work.
Don't give him a moment's rest.
And if you want to tell us, we'll go as well. We're totally down with that.
Yep.
That would be great. All right, I'm going to pitch it tomorrow.
Yes, perfect. All right, thanks for talking to us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
TMZ.
Bye.
Bye.
By the way, I spent the weekend at Mike Shinoda's art showing festival. What do you call it? Art display.
Showing is what I call it.
I don't know.
Was it at an art gallery?
Yeah, it was at an art gallery. He's he's a great painter.
Hey!
It's really frustrating. Really, you can't do everything. Leave something for somebody else.
Wow.
And I met Rob Dyrdek there.
Ah.
Hanging out there.
Very cool.
Bizarre weekend.
Mike Shinoda.
Celebrities. Yeah.
That's it. That's my whole story.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat for Monday. What's going on,
Mike Shinoda. This is what's going on. I apologize profusely
for what?
To all the hardcore Wizards of Waverly Place fans out there.
Are you hearing from them now?
Oh, yes. Not so much for bashing their lame-ass movie, which was, by the way, the second highest rated show ever to air on the Disney Channel.
1 billion viewers, I heard.
No. It was 11.4 million viewers.
Okay.
But still, that's a significant number of viewers.
Pretty huge in the summertime, yeah.
I mistakenly said it was Demi Lovato who stars in that project.
It isn't?
No, sir. Okay. It is Selena Gomez.
Oh, there's a difference?
Apparently.
Okay.
I'd be hard-pressed to pick him out of a lineup, but
they're completely different people, it turns out.
What?
Turns out they look an awful lot alike, though. It's an easy enough mistake to make.
Sure.
They're both sort of swarthy brunettes.
Swarthy?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm just saying. In my defense, I'm just saying.
Swarthy.
So I apologize, Wizard fans.
It's not really up to Ralph to keep them straight. I mean, it's like keeping the Jonas Brothers straight.
Exactly.
It doesn't really matter which ones they are, to tell you the truth.
It's Demi, it's Selena, it's Miley, whatever. I'm not eight. What do I know?
Bean is, and he knows.
All right, let's move on, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office. We take a look every Monday morning. Final Destination was number one this weekend. $28.3 million made it so. Inglourious Basterds came in at number two with an additional $20 million this weekend. Halloween 2 was third. District 9 was 4th. G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra came in at number 5. Then Julie and Julia was 6. The Time Traveler's Wife was 7. Shorts Taking Woodstock and G-Force rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, Hollywood Reporter says Columbia Pictures has announced yet another Bad Boys movie in the works.
No.
Yeah.
No. Right on.
Martin Lawrence and Will Smith kicking some booty, baby.
No.
Here's the bad news. Neither Martin Lawrence or Will Smith has committed to the threequel.
Is that right?
But they're making it anyway.
They're going to do it with
then
whoever?
How is it a Bad Boys movie then?
Because it'll be their sons. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it. They'll recast it.
Hmm.
It'll be
Bad Boys, what you going to do?
Yeah.
What you going to do when they come for you?
There's the theme song already written.
Nope.
I'm hoping for Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
And
great.
And
Nas?
Flava Flav.
That's what I'm hoping.
Anything Flavor Flav's in, I'm in.
The new Bad Boys team. That's what I'm hoping. More movie news. Nicolas Cage has signed to star in a 3D action movie called Drive Angry.
Yeah.
I kid you not, is the title of the movie.
Drive
That's
Angry.
That's a Funny or Die parody,
Drive
right?
Drive Angry. No. It's about a guy, Nicolas Cage, who is chasing in his car the people who killed his daughter.
Man, I seen that movie too, and I fell asleep on it.
Apparently the vendetta spins out of control, and the chase gets bloodier and bloodier by the mile, according to Hollywood Reporter, leaving bodies strewn across the highway.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes, and yes.
He just keeps making good choices.
Apparently, this is sort of like Grand Theft Auto in a movie in 3D. Huh.
All right.
That would be great.
So we got that to look forward to.
Nope.
We got that.
I think it's great. I think it's genius.
Catch Heidi Pratt?
Nope.
On the local Fox affiliate morning news show here in Los Angeles?
I saw that she was on it, but yeah. I can't bear to listen to her voice.
I'm glad now that I watched because I learned a lot of things.
Oh, is that right?
Initially, I thought, the Miss Universe competition was televised? I asked myself because I had no idea it was actually on. But then I saw the clips of her lip-syncing and dancing on the stage. And I said, wow, I had no idea that was televised. I had no idea what network carried it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was on television. I hadn't seen a commercial for it. I had no knowledge. I couldn't have watched it if I had wanted to.
Right.
But apparently I was in the minority.
I performed in front of a billion eyes, the highest rated televised event in the history of TV. It set records.
Lip syncing? Yeah. No.
No, very live.
Not that live.
That's just lie after lie after lie.
First of all, she was totally lip-syncing and poorly, may I add. She was mouthing the wrong words while she was lip-syncing and dancing horribly. And it is not the highest-rated TV event of all time.
Not even in the ballpark.
It's just not.
You the higher.
The highest-rated TV event in all of history, according to Heidi Pratt.
That's what she's saying.
And I don't think she had billions of eyes on her.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
And she didn't sing. What about all that?
Other than that, the story is right on.
She does go on, Ralph, and I know you saw the clips from the show, and you remember. How would you describe her dancing for folks who did not see it?
Epileptic.
Okay. Listen to how she continues in the same sentence. She's already lied about the amount of people watching, and she's already lied about the lip-syncing.
Very live as can be, and I was just so excited I didn't mess up a move. I had so much fun.
Didn't mess up a move. It was perfectly choreographed. It couldn't have gone any better.
That is absolutely not true.
She didn't miss a move if the choreography was go out on stage and act as if you're having a seizure.
Maybe it was.
Maybe then she was right on.
Maybe that's what she was going for. So is it Spencer that puts those thoughts in her head that it was the most watched television show of all time and she just believes that on faith or what?
Maybe. she exhausts me.
That is absolutely incorrect.
Nice remix there, sorry. DJ Kevin.
Bit of a mistake.
And congratulations to Disney. The Walt Disney Company has acquired Marvel Entertainment. Marvel Entertainment, of course, the folks who publish popular comic books like Iron Man and Spider-Man. And, of course, bring those characters to life on the big screen as well.
I don't even know what that is.
Walt Disney paid $4 billion to bring the 5,000 Marvel characters into the Disney family. So I'm thinking anytime we'll get to see Mickey versus the Hulk.
Yeah, that's my fear.
Be
is
great,
that,
wouldn't it?
Is that Hannah Montana is going undercover with Iron Man in the next movie. I'm terrified as to what they're going to do with it.
Not me. Everything they do is on the up and up, and I am supportive.
I love Disney.
Me too. I don't know what Bean's talking about.
Today's celebrity birthday, Sarah Ramirez from Grey's Anatomy. She's 34 years old today. She's
a big girl.
She's curvy. She's zoptic.
She's hot.
I gotta go with hot. She's pretty.
She's
a pretty
very
girl.
Pretty.
She's a big pretty girl.
But
she's pretty big.
Does the cowbell mean ugly or just big?
Just means beefy.
She's fat. Just,
well, no. But, well, she's not thin.
No.
But
okay. She's in that between place.
I hate to be a girl on this one. She's not fat at all. She just she looks like one of those girls who actually legitimately is big bone. Like she came out of the womb big.
No one has big bones, by the way.
No, I know, but I mean,
there are girls that are bigger.
She came out of the womb.
This guy's a physical trainer. No, I think she's one who's got big bones.
Figure of speech, but she looks like one of those girls that came out of the womb big. I mean,
you are the guy who thinks
big bone means a bigger frame.
8 pounds overweight is death.
I know this is crazy. I just find her attractive, and I don't think I think she's attractive.
I didn't say she wasn't attractive.
And I think she's not.
Didn't say
overweight.
She wasn't attractive.
Not overweight.
That is a lie.
Not
that's
overweight.
Just
no, ridiculous.
I bet
absolutely
if we saw
overweight.
Her in person, we would be surprised.
Well, that's possible.
Well, if she got out of the way of the sun, you'd be surprised. She'd be backlit by the sun. I wouldn't be able to make out who it was. Just saying.
Could have used some of that stuff this weekend. It's so hot.
But, that's right. No matter, could have used some Tara Harris shade.
But no matter how much weight she lost, she could never be a size 2 or a size 4.
I'm not even saying she should be a size 2.
Which is fine.
Do you think she's the optimum weight for her size?
I don't know. I'd have to see her in person, obviously.
No, I don't know.
Probably not, but
I'm
not fat.
Put her in the tank and see how much water she displaces, and we'll figure it out. Look, I have nothing. I love a softer, curvier woman. I'm all for it. But come on. Let's be honest. It's like saying Christina Hendricks on Mad Men. Love her. Find her sexy beyond compare. Big girl.
Big.
So are you going to ring a cowbell for her?
Look, I don't make the rules, Lisa.
I've never heard you ring a cowbell.
Dean is the cowbell holder.
Do
you see a bell in my hand? I have no bell. I am not the keeper of the bell. I have no control.
You have strong suggestions about the bell.
Are you saying I'm the Karl Rove? To Beans
yes,
the bell ringer?
Yes, I
am. Is that what you're trying to say?
You're pulling the strings,
man.
That's
a way better way to say it.
Chris Tucker is 37 years old. Debbie Gibson turns 39. Richard Gere is 60 years old today. Stop saying gerbil.
At least cough it.
That's what I said last time.
That is like a 20-year-old story that just isn't true.
Allegedly.
Van Morrison, Van the Man. Legendary Irish singer-songwriter is 64 years old today. That was good.
Got her.
And Shar Jackson, K-Feds. She is for real, by the way. Shar Jackson's the baby mama of Kevin Federline. That's probably how she's best known. But she was an actress or something beforehand, right?
By the way, super pretty.
Yes.
Big girl.
Pretty and big, yes.
Don't start us down that
path again.
Absolutely.
You can be both.
That's true.
But apparently Lisa thinks all bells should be equal. All bells are the same in her eyes. All bells are created equal. It's right there in the Constitution.
But if you're going to ring the big bell.
I think yes.
For Sarah Ramirez, then you have to ring it for Christine Hendricks.
I agree with you.
All right, then,
look,
Bean.
It chagrins me, but what are you going to do? We'll wait for it's her birthday, Lisa. We're not going to start ringing the bell nilly-willy.
About her today.
Oh, for God's sakes, woman, it's only Monday.
Look, I'm
You're
just asking
me.
For consistency.
I'm asking for a...
Uh-oh. Yes? For what?
For a segue out of this bit.
Day and night she talks. Each word more useless than the next.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz.
What could be more exciting than the savage ballet that is pro football?
That's what I'm talking about.
It's virtually here. I'm telling you, I was watching some preseason over the weekend, and the electricity in Denver, for instance, if you saw the return of their ex-quarterback with the Chicago Bears, the crowd was like it was a playoff game. It was unbelievable how riled up they were for this season. But we are right around the corner from another NFL season, and we're very excited to welcome author Michael Tunnison on the phone with us. He has written the Football Fans Manifesto. Michael, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Yeah, those Bronco fans were baying for blood last night.
Yes, they were.
They were. It was crazy. So let's start so we know whether we can trust you or not. Who's your team, Michael?
I'm one of the many horrible Pittsburgh Steeler fans out there.
Ah, yes. It's been good times for you the last few years.
Yeah, it's been a nice run. Well, I mean, everyone gets on us now because the Steelers have won 2 out of the last 4. But I mean, I was born after the '70s, so most of my life was them losing like conference title games. So it's finally starting to pay off.
Now you say in your book, one of the things that you say in your book is you have to pick your team by the time you're 8. That's the upper limit of age that you can pick a football team.
Yeah, that's the absolute cutoff. You can't do it after that. That's just kind of an arbitrary thing I came up with. But the point is that you have to, early enough in life, say when you're like by the end of elementary school, you need to have an idea. By then you should know who your favorite team is, and it's a matter of once you've picked one, you can't deviate from that.
Right, especially if they start doing poorly. That's the worst thing you can do is then jump somewhere else.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's been any number of Detroit Lion fans that have said to me, our management is terrible and we're always losers. And I'm like, well, maybe you should have thought about that when you were a kid.
When you were born.
So you're not, let me make sure I understand here, Michael, because the beautiful thing about the Football Fans Manifesto is it gives you the official rules on what you're allowed to do and not do. So if you were to pick up and move to another town, let's say you, Michael, were to pick up and move to, Phoenix or something, couldn't you become a Cardinals fan after you'd lived there for a few years and root for them and have them be your team? team, or you're not even allowed to do that?
No, I mean, especially to someone of my age, like, I mean, I'm late 20s now, but so you've been spending, your formative years rooting for one team,
right.
Just because you locate to someone else, maybe you grow a little fond of the place, but, it just seems such a huge personal, almost a betrayal to say, hey, I've been rooting for this team for a long time, let me just toss them out altogether,
If you actively have a team, then you can't do that. But if maybe you're born someplace where you never were following, any single team, and then you move someplace, then I guess it would be different, right?
Yeah, I guess if you were somewhere like Iowa, where you're well between sort of fan base boundaries,
right?
And then you move to Green Bay, where it's you can't escape the team. Then I guess in that case, it would be all right.
What's your advice for people who have no allegiance to any team? Because we got a lot of listeners in places as far flung as you mentioned Iowa. We got listeners in Idaho. We got listeners in Los Angeles. A lot of places that don't have their own team. What's your advice for picking one if you're starting from scratch?
Well, that's the thing. The one, LA is a good example because the one sort of cop out you have to change teams if you already had one is if your team relocates. So, LA's lost two teams, so they're, people who follow the Rams or the Raiders are free to, pretty much pick whomever at this point.
Nope. Raiders fans are Raider fans for life.
They got the tattoo to prove it.
If they quit being a Raiders fan, the rest of the fans kill them. That's how it works.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, what's your advice, because we have a lot of conversations on the show during the football season, about things that fans can do to help their teams win? A lot of superstitious football fans are out there, and they've got a ritual that they go through before every Sunday. Do you believe in those? And if so, what do you do?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely subscribe to that. I mean, that's the thing. There is no catch-all kind of procedure. I mean, it's a very case-by-case thing. You just really have to. It's all about tinkering with whatever works for you. I mean, for me, I even have a special, cologne that I only wear on Steelers game days. It's not like something, it's that.
Is it black oil?
It's black by Kenneth Cole, so all right. It's just something I tried once. So I was like, hey, they won, so I'll just do this forever.
Now, you also write in your book that a guy's new pair of underwear could be to blame for a 10-loss season.
What?
It could, all it takes is one small change in behavior. I mean, it's one thing you notice. I did this thing this week. I ate Chinese food from the wrong takeout, and they lost. So I know that is to blame.
Wow, that's a long road to go down, though, because especially if you have a losing
slope, but it's one you got to be able to negotiate it somehow, right?
Okay, all right, I got you.
You're a big John Madden fan. Are you crushed to see him not on the TV this week?
Well, I'm a big Chris Collinsworth opponent, so in that sense, I'm sad to see Madden go because I don't like Collinsworth.
What about the amazingly compelling drinking game that you do during the draft?
Well, yeah, there's any number of things to go on there. I mean, anytime they talk about, with the NBA draft, I guess it would be reach, but some of the buzzwords about, how they finish plays or things like that, or any number of the, any bit of the jargon that they typically use about, reach picks, and, as soon as Detroit drafts a receiver, take about five shots.
Now, here's my question for you. You write, and this is, I'm going to read it verbatim, fantasy baseball is for geeks, but fantasy football is for men.
Yeah, because fantasy baseball is a huge time commitment. I mean, you got games going on every day. I mean, football, you can deal with it maybe once a week, but fantasy baseball is it. That's a huge drain on your time. I mean, you're monitoring stuff all the time. You can have a life and do fantasy football,
but you can't do fantasy football if you have a team, can you? I mean, if you're rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers and somebody else comes into town and you've got them on your fantasy league, you don't root for them.
It does create some thorny scenarios, but fantasy can kind of be a buffer for that too. I mean, you can be, not that you would want to go for opposing players, but if you happen to have one, no matter what, you want your team to win, but if they happen to lose, it's hedging your bets a little bit.
That's you're wrong. That's false. That's a lie right
there. Hey, Kevin, he wrote the Football Fans Manifesto. How are you telling him he's wrong? He's the expert.
About I was wrong.
Look, we don't have time to get into all the great chapters in the book, but there's everything from how to pick the right fan tattoo to something called the Laws of the Smack, playlist of songs for tailgating. It's all in there and just in time for the new football season. The book is called The Football Fans Manifesto. Great as a gift idea with the holiday season just around the corner. Where do people find this? Is it available in all the big stores and Amazon and all that too?
Yeah, it's available all the big bookstores, Borders, Barnes & Noble, et cetera. And, yeah, it's available online, both in the print and the Kindle version on Amazon.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks for taking the time today. We appreciate it.
Right. Thanks a lot.
Glad to have football back, Fight. Kevin and Bean Show. Kat Corbett is up next, right after we take a look at the showbiz. Kat, what do you got for us coming up?
I've got the Queens of the Stone Age, mm-hmm. plus new K-Rock music from Dead by Sunrise.
Right.
And I'm sorry, long night last night. I've got other stuff. Sorry.
It's a world-famous K-Rock now at 9:43.
It is Monday. We thought, hey, let's get Ralph Garman in here one more time. Ralph, what's going on in the world of Hollywood?
Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, as we do every Monday morning. Final Destination. This is it. This is the last one. America responded by rushing out to the theaters to see the last Final Destination. $28.3 million. Made it number one at the box office this weekend. Uh-oh, what happened?
That means it's not the last one.
Means
he's going to make another one.
No, it's the final destination till the penultimate destination. Inglourious Bastards, still holding in there, was number two at the box office with an additional $20 million over the weekend. Halloween 2 did pretty well for itself. Number three with $17.4 million. Then District 9. Seriously, the more I think about it, I think it's my favorite movie of the year.
Yeah, that's hanging. That's good.
G.I. Joe was fifth with Rise of Cobra. Julie and Julia was sixth, The Time Traveler's Wife, Shorts, Taking Woodstock, and G-Force, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Turns out not a lot of people wanted to go back to Woodstock.
Yeah.
They did not set their Wayback Machines for 40 years.
Myself included.
$3.8 million was all it made in its debut weekend. Congratulations to two of my favorite performers, Emily Blunt and John Krasinski. They announced on Friday that they are engaged. It's okay.
Lisa, wow. You okay?
It's all right. I love him.
Couldn't tell if that was sad or orgasmic. It's I couldn't sad. Tell what was going on over there.
It's sad. Right.
They make a lovely
sometimes
little
they sound
couple.
The same.
Yeah.
When I went to, lucky enough to go to a screening of that movie, Sunshine Cleaning, that Emily Blunt mm-hmm. starred in, and mm-hmm. she was there with John, and they just were just two people in love. Very nice to see. So congratulations.
A little bit of a love guys. Triangle with Pam, though. Isn't he also planning on marrying her? How's that going to work?
It's just a show.
TV show.
Pam Anderson?
No reality.
Lindsay Lohan in the news. Lindsay Lohan's a thief.
A thief?
What?
That's right.
She stole.
I said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it. Remember I told you that story where she was doing a photo shoot and she left with all the clothing?
Yes.
Oh,
they couldn't
yeah.
get it back.
Borrowed clothing.
Well, now a company called 14 Carats is complaining, saying that they loaned Lindsay about $2 million worth of jewelry.
Wow.
And for her to wear to some event and whatnot. And they never got it back. And so they said, Lindsay, we'd like that back, if you don't mind. Those were just loaners. Well.
Maybe she thought it was a gift.
She's saying it was in her safe during the burglary that happened last week at her Hollywood home.
The burglary where she said that they didn't take anything like a normal robbery?
No, well, they took her wall safe. They did take the safe out of the wall, yeah. And apparently the jewelry was in that safe. Mm-hmm. So she can't give it back now.
Wow. This sounds very suspicious.
Just, inside job.
Let's just see if she's wearing it here in the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to have to remove the stones from the settings and melt it down and reset them. She's going to have to pull a whole bank heist thing here to make it work. I don't think she's got the brains to do it, quite frankly. A Entourage-type scandal over on the set of Entourage.
What happened?
A poor young woman named Irina Voronina.
Oh, bell, 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 bell.
Who, if you've never seen her, is a Playboy playmate and is maybe one of the hottest women ever to live.
Wow.
Wow.
It's quite a category.
It is quite a category. She says that she was fired from Entourage because she wouldn't bang any of the guys in the cast. Which sounds like what's happening on the set of Johnny Drama's movie.
Wow.
Or his TV show, rather. She said that she appeared on several episodes of Entourage, but eventually got the axe because she kept turning down the members of the cast who wanted to spend some quality time away from the set.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
She says the rejection made them upset and bitter. Meanwhile, a representative for HBO has called the allegation unfounded and unsubstantiated and probably true, but we won't say it.
Is that their quote?
That's their quote, yeah. Come on!
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm talking about!
I know.
We got photos of her up on our internet here in the studio, and she's just... That's a woman right there.
That's a woman.
It's a wah to the man. Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Gere is 60 years old today.
He looks great.
He does look great. That's how you want to age.
He's a good actor, too.
He is a good actor. Deborah Gibson. Used to be known as Debbie Gibson back in the 80s when she was one of the youngest pop stars in the world. Now she's one of the oldest former pop stars in the world. She is 39 years old today. Chris Tucker from Rush Hour. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Is 37 years old today. And Sarah Ramirez from Grey's Anatomy celebrates her 34th birthday.
Belle today. Belle. What do you guys say?
I don't know who it is.
She's big.
She's big.
She's a big girl.
She's big. She's pretty, big girl. But pretty big.
She's a big girl.
What do you think, Lisa? You know the Grey's Anatomy.
I'm going to say she's a big girl.
Unless you have a fat Belle.
Where's the cowbell? Where's the cowbell when we need it?
That's a good question.
My impression of a cowbell.
There we go.
There you go.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have Dana White.
That's what I'm talking about.
In the studio. UFC, of course, is his baby. And we'll take calls in that hour as well if you'd like to ask him some questions.
Okay.
Who's got, very rarely does a guest come in where there's a fight between Psycho Mike and producer Alex because they both have crushes on the guest.
Yeah, true.
But Dana White is one of them. They're going to be pulling that poor guy apart from the shoulders.
We're going to talk about heavy sleepers. And the amazing things that somehow they just don't even wake up for.
They slept through?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if I could find the tape, but I swear to God I'm not lying when I tell you that there was a story one time a couple of years ago about a guy who slept through a either tornado or hurricane that took his house apart.
Awesome.
He woke up and he was outside. And he was like, what happened?
What happened?
I swear to God, that is a heavy sleeper, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God.
That's the best. And another Psycho Mike parody song, which is always goes well. Does nothing but make
our
company happy.
Really, has this been cleared by the attorneys?
Cleared, smeared, whatever.
Come on, no.
Tomorrow morning on
Kevin, I've got a mortgage. Come on.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.